Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. It's always great to have her come by to talk about your pet's health. And as a matter of fact, I got a postcard, two postcards in the mail the other day, reminding me that it's vaccination time for Coco and for... what's my other cat's name? Tiger.
Tiger. You don't even remember your cat's name. Oh,
Tiger would not be happy. And Tiger's not happy when actually Coco's the one that whines a lot when he gets in the car. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty much, it's not too stressful. But what can we do to make a visit to the vet as less stressful as possible?
Well, the reason why I wanted to bring this topic up is that in the last few weeks, there's been some things that have happened in the clinic that have really affected my ability to be able to serve the pet and the owner effectively.
Oh.
And I thought I would just kind of go through these. Now, some of these may be my pet peeves, but I think it's you know, just bear with me if you don't
okay.
mind. Okay. One of the things that's happened is people coming in with a pet the first time I've seen them and not bringing medical records with them. Or having them sent ahead of time. Or sending in someone who doesn't know anything about the pet.
Oh.
Who just is kind of a delivery person. And it really, I can't tell, you know, just saying your pet's due for vaccines. I don't know what it's actually due for. So really helpful to plan ahead for your appointments like that. If you're, you know, for cats especially, have them in a carrier. I had someone come in with their cat on a harness and leash, and by the time they got into the exam room, they were so stressed from the car ride and the, you know, the waiting room. And even though we have now a dedicated cat waiting area and cat exam rooms to really lower that stress, it's really helpful to have your cat adapted to being in a carrier. So get that carrier out well ahead of the appointment. Throw treats in, make it easier. And if possible, try to limit it to one pet per appointment. I know that that is sometimes not easy to do with people that have really busy lives, but sometimes when we have one pet that has had something done and they get stressed, that's going to stress the other pet out that is just sitting and waiting. And it can get really confusing when we've got more than one pet in the exam room. Always try to arrive on time for your appointments. I know that sometimes we are running behind and try to be understanding about that regarding emergencies, but that really cuts into other people's time too, and we like to be able to spend as much time as we can with you. And as much as I love children, I love having kids come into the clinic because I've got some really good tips to keep them occupied. I give them syringes and I bandage their hands up and stuff. Having a child that is fussing and not being comfortable in the exam room really limits our ability to be able to explain things. And so, although it's a great experience for kids to be able to come in and see what we do, you know your child before you bring them in, because it can really affect how we're able to deal with your pet and the information you're able to receive. You know, and bring your medications in. My doctor always asks me to bring everything in that I'm taking, and so I go in with this big bag of supplements and everything else. That's really helpful for us because there's so many pet supplements that if we medicate them with something else, it could interfere and cause some safety issues. And kind of just a couple of other little minor things. If we need to get a urine sample, don't let your pet go to the bathroom before they come in because we'll never be able to get it. And now we're out of luck. So, you know, short leash, carry them in, whatever. That would be really helpful. Leave your pet in the car if it's coughing and the weather's conducive for leaving them in the car because that's going to spread things throughout the exam room. And, you know, lastly, if you've got a dog that's you've known has to be muzzled to be able to be worked with,
put a muzzle on him.
Yeah, those basket muzzles. You can get one of those basket muzzles that the dog can take treats through, and now the dog's going to be relaxed because we're able to feed it treats, and we don't have to go through the hassle of trying to put a muzzle on. And there's a whole host of other things, and maybe if there's some veterinarians listening out there, they can chime in with things that would make their life a little bit easier. But it's not only making our lives easier, it's providing better service for the pet and owner as well.
Makes very good sense to me. Jen in Minnesota has a question for you, Sandy, Dr. Sandy, so let's go there. Jen,
hi
thank
there.
You. Hi.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. I am on the road, and so I'm going to take the answer off the air when I get done talking here. Dr. Sandy, I really appreciate this show, and Larry, I have kind of a two-part question here, but the part that I'm mostly interested in is the second portion, the lump portion. But I just wanted to give you a little bit of a background. I used to be a vet tech many years ago, and I taught in a vet tech course, and I worked at an animal shelter, and I was a dog trainer. So I do have some experience, a lot of experience with dogs. Recently, a year ago, I guess it's been, we adopted a dog from the shelter. Supposedly is a Greyhound Weimaraner mix, but I don't know. He looks more like a lab mix to me. But anyway, he is a really, really bad, the worst fear biter I've ever seen. And the only time that it affects our lives together is when we have to do something like take a temperature, or he's good for cleaning ears, and I can clip his nails. If I try and take a Dremel tool to do his nails, which I use on my Greyhounds, he will go into the full-blown attack mode. And so I do have to use a plastic basket muzzle on him for anything like that. He'll let me do his teeth. But the other day, something came up, which I'll tell you about in a second here, and I had to take his temperature. And he, thank God, I muzzled him, because he did go into that full-blown attack mode again. And
do you have, you had a question about swollen gland as well. Do you want to bring that up, Jen?
Sure, sure. So on this weekend, we gave him a Nylabone that has those little pointers that stick out of it all over for cleaning teeth, kind of a rubbery material. And he really loved that, but I didn't realize he actually finished it within a day. And he's only like a 35-pound dog. And that was this weekend. And now on Monday, a swollen, I looked it up online, and it looked like it was like where the mandibular gland would be. And it's about like a squishy golf ball size, a little smaller than a golf ball. And it feels kind of, you know, like a lipoma kind of a thing there. So I don't know. Would that, and he does not have a fever.
So what do you think, Dr.
Yeah,
Sandy?
Well, first of all, back to the toy bit. You know, you really have to know your dog before introducing a toy. And Nylabones, depending on the type, remember, the really hard ones can break teeth. And so the ones that our dentist says, if you hit yourself in the knee with the toy and it hurts, don't put it in the dog's mouth. And it sounds like this dog's a pretty voracious chewer, and I'd be really worried about things like gastrointestinal foreign bodies if they're able to go through one of those fairly indestructible bones that quickly. But back to that swelling that your dog is finding, there's a lot of things that sit in that area of the, there's a salivary gland, there's several lymph nodes in that area, and I would be recommending that you have your dog seen by a veterinarian so that they can do potentially a needle biopsy of that spot. And this is a prime example of, you know your dog, and you've got your dog muzzle adapted. Having them pre-muzzled before coming into the clinic is really going to make a difference for everybody involved. And we can, you know, use things like, we have cans of squirt cheese and things that we're able to put through the mesh of the muzzle so that the dog has something to be licking while we're doing our physical exam. And for most dogs, that works really, really well. But in some cases, we even have to look at sedating them to be able to get our exam done. So come in with your dog with an empty tummy, with a muzzle on, just in case, so that that can be evaluated. I don't know what it is, because until we get a sample of it, we're kind of out of luck. So, yep.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller. And Jennifer Dargan joins us from Wisconsin Public Radio. And this is our year-end membership drive at WPR. You count on WPR for in-depth talk on the issues, and we count on you to keep those discussions going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, doesn't it, Jennifer?
Yes, it does, and I'm so happy to be here, Larry. I wanted to give you an update on last hour.
Okay.
Last hour we heard from 13 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. And right now, this is exciting news. We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500.
Ooh.
And this generous match is from current members, including Charles and Judy Hastert from Green Bay, and an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member. And it means that they're going to match every dollar that you give this hour.
Up to $3,500. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. It's their way of encouraging you to join them and supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double your support for the programs you love. So I hope you'll give right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
You know, the Larry Mueller Show is really must-listen radio for many, many of our listeners. And a lot of what makes it so special are the regular guests. You know, we have Scott Craven, who's always happy to speculate on your wildlife sightings, and the weather guys, Steve Ackerman and John Martin. The bird guy, Bill Vokert, just was on a few months ago talking about the silent migration. And, of course, today's guest, Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, helps us with our furry friends.
And Sandy and all the rest of the guests you mentioned cover topics that I think are really near and dear to your heart. They give you advice and ideas. And because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests, I hope you'll support this program with your dollars. It's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It is the season of giving, and you can do two good things at once when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio today. Your donation, of course, supports the programs that you rely on, but you can also ask for food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month.
These thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks, and it all starts with your gift at WPR.org. or by phoning 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
I hope you'll make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. I'm Larry Mueller, along with Jennifer Dargan, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
Mm-hmm. And so many of us are paying our bills online or just setting it up and, you know, having it come automatically from our checking account. And I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house.
Support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say, at, I don't know, $10 or $20. You can set it up, have it come out of your credit card or your bank account. It rolls over every year, so your support of Wisconsin Public Radio is always current. Easy to do at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
It's easy to do, and it feels so good. Many of us are really committed to making our communities better, and, for example, you might volunteer your time, you know, recycle, help those in need. Making a financial contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio makes our communities better, too.
Your investment, together with donations from others, makes the music, the news, and the talk on WPR available to everybody. And we're really proud to be an important part of our Wisconsin community. So help us stay strong with your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
We want to thank you for spending your time with Wisconsin Public Radio today. And whether you found us by scanning through the dial or maybe a friend recommended that you can get some great conversations, good information, you're still tuned in because you like what you hear.
And because you like what you hear, I hope you'll help pay for your public radio station. You choose the amount. Maybe it's $5 a month. That's a great starting point. Or whatever's comfortable for you, become our next new member at WPR.org or at 888 888- 202-255-2.
Your pledge right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It informs me. It makes me laugh. You fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. Those are powerful feelings, and you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So please join, renew, or make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for intelligent radio. There are costs associated with high-quality radio, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
It is, and making a pledge is so quick and easy. You'll be finished in no time at all. And your contribution in any amount, say $5, $10 a month, whatever the amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, it makes WPR possible.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect, so give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR is going to go twice as far.
Mm-hmm. And remember this holiday season, support the radio you love and give something extra. Ask for food for $20 when you give $5 a month or food for $40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
The important thing is, if you haven't pledged yet, now is really the time to do it. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. And if you've already contributed, thank you very much. Thank you so much. So happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Great to have you along. Just to mention, coming up at 1 today, according to Nielsen Research, Morning Edition's audience has declined 20% among people under 55. Kathleen's going to take a look at how NPR might attract younger and middle-aged audience. That's at 1 o'clock. But right now, a question about your pet's health. I hope you'll join us. And if you have a photo of your pet, we always look forward to that as well. At the Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our Facebook page. And you know what? Sandy, we have a lot of callers. Let's go to Amber in Waukesha. Is that right?
Wasaukee.
Oh, Wasaukee. Okay.
A little further north. I am either a very wonderful daughter or a very stupid one. We built a brand new house, and my mother's going to be moving down here, probably within the next couple of weeks. She has a cat. He's about a year and a half old, and she's bringing him. He's not been neutered yet. She doesn't drive, and my veterinarian has said, because we didn't know when we could get her, when she would be moving, they're going to try and squeeze the cat in as soon as we get him here. I don't know. I've never had a male cat that sprayed in the house. What are the chances that I'm going to have problems?
Well, if they are intact, it is their urine, whether it's in the litter box or not, is so potent. And we have a separate cat ward in our clinic, and if we get an intact Tom in, you can smell them everywhere.
That's,
and it's a big place.
Said.
And yes, male cats that are intact are much more likely to urine mark, which is called spraying. Mm-hmm. And that urine smell can be difficult to get out of your curtains and upholstery and carpets and things. So I strongly recommend as soon as he comes into the house, get him to the veterinarian to get him neutered. Even neutering, though, what we'll find is that about 1 in 10 neutered male cats will still urine mark. And so urine marking is not just sex-related, but it's also behavioral. And so if we've got a cat that is socially stressed because there's stray cats hanging around outside or anything like that, the environment's overcrowded with cats, then they may still urine mark. So it's not 100% guarantee, but the smell of the urine from a neutered male cat is much more tolerable, even though it's still pretty bad, than an intact male cat. So good for you and your veterinarian for getting on this. The procedure is a very simple surgery, and you know, one of the simplest ones that as a veterinarian we can do, and they're usually in and out. Most vets will send them home the same day. Some like to keep them in overnight to, you know, just make monitor the incision sites, and that may not be a bad idea for this cat, so that then you can prepare the house to have a room all set up for them, so they can very slowly get used to the brand new surroundings.
Yeah, we have three dogs in the house who are used to the barn cats. There are no other cats in the house. There is a pheromone spray, isn't there?
There is, and it's called Feel Away, and it's the facial pheromone that cats will, if they go up and facially mark things, they rub their face on things, that will make the environment kind of smell like a cat that's comfortable and relaxed, because that's what cats do when they're comfortable and relaxed, is facially mark. Is it going to stop a cat that's intact male from spraying? Very unlikely. So, I mean, I've had mixed success with it. It's not going to hurt. But, and I think anytime you're going to be introducing a cat into the environment, it wouldn't be a bad idea to consider, you know, initially the room that the cat's going to be confined to get used to the litter box and so on, and the sound of the dogs outside the door. Plugging in a feel-away diffuser there probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much for calling, Amber. Appreciate your call. Let's give Joan a chance in Madison. Joan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. We have a 10-year-old black lab, and we had a blood test done on him in October, and it showed that he had elevated ALT enzyme in his liver. And it has been suggested by our vet to give him like a supplement. I think it's a like milk thistle supplement, and it's not really elevated. It's not even double, but it's up enough to worry a little bit. But I just wondered, you know, how much should we worry, and what do you think about the supplement?
Yeah, I mean, this is a dilemma that we have, because we do blood work for a lot of reasons on pets as they get older. Sometimes it's prior to anesthesia, sometimes it's just screening, and you get these results coming up in a apparently healthy dog, and you see like maybe one liver value that's up a little bit. And, you know, we have our normal reference ranges, and sometimes, you know, animals will fall, they'll be on the, you know, the far end of the bell curve, and maybe a little bit higher than the reference range. And so typically what we do, and that particular liver enzyme that you mentioned actually comes from liver cells. And so that tells me that probably some liver cells are releasing that enzyme for some reason. So a couple of things you can do. If you wanted to jump in whole hog and have a look at this, you could probably do a full liver panel that's going to look at things like bilirubin and other liver values as well, which may not be included on the standard chemistry. You could also consider having an abdominal ultrasound done to be able to look at the liver. Taking an x-ray is just going to show the shadow of the liver. Is it big? Is it small? But an ultrasound can actually look inside it to see, do we have anything growing that could potentially be a problem? But, you know, you don't necessarily have to jump to that level. I think your veterinarian made a really great suggestion, putting your dog on a liver support agent. There's a couple of products out there. The one that we use at the veterinary school is one that goes by the brand name of Denamarin. Some of the human supplements just are not absorbed or metabolized that well by dogs. So I do recommend getting one that we know the track record of. And that's why we end up using this one called Denamarin. It's made by a company called Nutramax.
Okay.
And it comes in tablets as well as chewable form. And then after a month of being on that, have that liver value rechecked. And if those if that value or any other liver values are going up, or your dog is starting to show any symptoms of liver disease, such as inappetence, lethargy, maybe vomiting, abdominal discomfort, then you've got more evidence that you better jump to the next step and get that ultrasound done.
Okay.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Carolyn in Altoona next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My 7-month-old puppy has tear staining around her eyes, quite severe. I've tried probiotics and a supplement with cranberry extract, and lutein, and most recently, those things haven't really done anything. I just started her on neomycin, polymyxin eye drops that my vet prescribed last week. I'm just wondering if you can recommend anything else. Does this usually get better, or?
Well, the big question is, why does your dog have all this tear staining? Do they have extra eyelashes? Is it an anatomical problem where the lids are rolling in and causing irritation and having your dog make more tears? Is it something with the tear ducts itself that's causing some problems? The little holes maybe plugged with something? That really needs to be looked into rather than looking at it as, I just don't want this cosmetic problem here. Find out what's causing the tearing, because there's got to be an underlying cause. Once you get that fixed, then you can start dealing with some of the cosmetic issues of dealing with the staining. I don't know why your veterinarian wants to put your dog on an antibiotic drop unless they feel that there is an eye infection going on that's causing this. That's probably not going to help the tearing unless it is something infectious. I can't really help you. You've tried the one probiotic that I know that has, it's off-label use, but it's made by the Iams company, and it's called Prostora. That's been the only one that I know that has been shown to help with continuous daily use to decrease the tear staining. Some of the other products that are available over the counter, there was one that was recently removed from sale that incorporated a tetracycline, which binds the chemical in the tears, porphyrins, that turns that rusty brown color. That was available over the counter, and it was a total inappropriate use of an antibiotic. So it got yanked from the market, and that was called, I think it was called Diamond Eyes. There's other things that you can use that will maybe help decrease some of the coloration and so on, but you've got to get to that underlying problem first before you start dealing with the color.
There you go. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Mary in Sun Prairie, thank you for waiting. Hi.
Good morning, Larry. I love your show, and it's so nice to hear you, Dr. Sandy.
Thank you.
I love listening to all your comments.
Great. Thank you very much.
So here's my dilemma. I have a male cat that's 13 years old, and around 2 months ago, I found out from my vet that he's got diabetes. So we tried one brand of insulin, and that didn't work, and now I'm on a second brand of insulin, and every Tuesday I take him in so they can check his blood sugar. How long do you think it'll take before we can figure something out?
This can be a really difficult situation. Cats are so unique with the way they metabolize insulin. Typically, the insulin I will start cats on is one that it goes by the name of insulin glargine, which is a human insulin that is supposedly a peakless insulin, and I've had probably the best luck with that. But I think probably the thing that is probably the best thing that you could do for your cat is do your glucose monitoring at home, because when they go into the vet clinic, it's very stressful, and those stress hormones are going to increase the blood sugar artificially and can cause some problems. And so I teach owners all the time how to do either ear prick or paw pad pricks, and using a glucometer at home, and be able to check your cat's insulin. So usually we do what's called a glucose curve, where we do a measure the glucose, give the cat its food, give it its insulin, then every 2 hours for 12 hours, get a glucose level so that we can see kind of where your cat's peaking to know how much the insulin's helping them. That's going to be your best way to monitor. You can't really use human glucose monitors. They're not calibrated for cats and dogs. We like to use one that is actually calibrated for dog and cat use, and this would be something your veterinarian may have. You can get them on Amazon even. Very easy to use, and one thing I'd be recommending is actually go to, there's a wonderful website called Binky's Page. I know it's a weird name, but it was named at a great website on cat diabetes management that was named after a cat named Binky. And it's well monitored, well written, good videos, lots of information there, probably more than you need. So refer to that as well. But talk to your vet about doing your own monitoring at home.
And thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You said paw pad pricks, and that's quite a...
That is.
Say that,
yes.
10 times fast. You know, one of the great articulators at Wisconsin Public Radio is Jennifer Dargan. If you need something articulated, you go to Jennifer. She's the go-to gal here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And here she is again. to help with our year-end membership drive. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great talks you enjoy on the Ideas Network every day. So make your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, do I have to say paw, pad, pricks five times in a row?
Good job, just, right there. Once is enough.
Let's just talk about the dollar for dollar match.
All right, let's do that.
So, our dollar for dollar match is still in effect up to $3,500. And this is a great time to pledge because current members, including Charles and Judy Hassert from Green Bay and an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member, will double every dollar that you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation today with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk about your pet's health. And this program is really a great example of the kind of important and informative conversations we have on this show.
That's right. Now take a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible. You can just choose a gift amount that works for you. Any amount makes you a member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are deep into the holiday season. I hope you'll let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio to people in need in your area. You can ask for the food for 20 when you give $60 or the food for 40 when you give $120. And that thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank near you. So you can do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I've heard so many people who really appreciate that offer.
Mm-hmm. WPR has been around for a long time. We're closing in on 100 years, Larry. And the reason is we're committed to quality. That quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the single largest piece of our budget.
Your contribution makes this program possible, and of course, so many others as well. You're part of the quality program you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and it's All Things Political this hour with Joan Walsh from The Nation magazine. A big speech from the president last night addressing a joint session of Congress on the economy. Joan, how does the president intend to use his executive powers in this matter?
This is Mike, and I was brought on to talk about consumer electronics.
Great radio production has a cost.
So, Mike, what did you think of the speech?
Well, the teleprompter was working.
Help make great radio with your gift today.
Joan Walsh, thanks for joining us.
Kathleen, it's so much fun to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you here. We'll talk about...
Together, we're Wisconsin Public Radio.
But let's begin the program with...
And you can join in and pledge your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your support of WPR during this year-end membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 a month or maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And so you can think of it this way. We know that physical exercise is an important part of staying healthy, but so is mental exercise. And where can you get your daily mental workout other than Wisconsin Public Radio?
That's exactly right. Listening to WPR keeps your brain in great shape. Mm-hmm. Your gift, any amount, helps pay for the programs. And so it keeps you and WPR healthy. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Don't forget, we have this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including Charles and Judy Hassert from Green Bay and an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member. So here's how it works. You give $50, that'll turn into $100. 100 turns into 200. You get the picture. So take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And maybe you've never pledged to WPR before. Today, you can find out how good it feels.
It feels great. Money-back guarantee. That'll feel great. It feels great to support something that you love, something you use and rely on every day. Put your money where your values are when you make your first ever pledge of, say, $5 a month or whatever amount is right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Making your year-end gift will take just a few minutes of your time. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You'll be done really quickly, and you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station you've enjoyed all year long. And that you're looking forward to 2016.
Mm-hmm. And don't miss out on this dollar-for-dollar match. It's still in effect. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And this holiday season, support the radio you love and give something extra. Ask for the food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or the food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, I just want to share with you before we get back to Sandy, Richard and Jane from Longmont, Colorado pledged and said, I love Kathleen and Larry and so much of your programming. We've traveled all over the U.S. and yours is the best programming anywhere. So thank you so much to them. How about you next? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tomorrow at 11, we're going to learn about birds from eagles to owls and a whole lot more with our bird expert, Laura Erickson. Right now, though, having some fun with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, talking about your pet's health. And join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can go to our Facebook page, post a question or a comment there. Just go to The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. Ben in Middleton has a question for you, Sandy, so let's go there. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a question about my dog's possible either hot spots or maybe an autoimmune thing. I remember when I was a kid, I had a Shar Pei, and we had a lot of issues with her skin. And my mom was having a lot of issues trying to figure out how to deal with that. And now that I have this guy, he's recently about around July got two hot spots around his jaw, right where his, I guess, jowls would come down.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been putting on some topical antibiotic stuff over the counter, and I've been just cleaning it with a warm washcloth. And it seems like it's about to heal. It'll dry. It won't be weepy anymore. And then it just reflames up and it's weepy again the next day. I assume you might be itching it when I'm not looking. But at the same time, I'm not sure because it's taken so long to heal. So it's not getting worse. It does get smaller and then it gets big and then it gets small, but it won't go completely away. And I've never had this before. And he's now 6 years old.
Yeah.
No food has changed and I just can't figure out what it might be.
What I'm concerned about is there's a, it's not uncommon for dogs that have, especially if they have droopy lips and big kind of furrows in their lips, to get what's called a lip fold pyoderma, which is a kind of chronic skin problem in the folds on the lips because saliva is constantly draining down there. Sometimes that's an indication of poor dental hygiene. And so if the dog has dental tartar or, you know, issues in the mouth, that could be aggravating it. But they find out what the bug actually is. Some of these dogs do better on systemic antibiotics. I've had some that have actually been a yeast infection and not a bacterial infection and had to go on antibacterials. And so I hope that your veterinarian has taken some swabs from this area, looked under the microscope to determine what the bug is, to be able to provide your dog with the right approach to therapy. But for many dogs that have these deep furrows in their lips, it's a daily, keeping it clean on a daily basis. And I know because I have bulldogs, they may not have lip folds, but they've got folds everywhere else. And it's literally a daily event of going through and checking each and every one of their folds and seeing what needs to be treated on a daily basis. So hopefully you can get some answers, but go back to your veterinarian, get some cytology done, appropriate therapy, and then, you know, be looking at that this may be a long-standing thing. Biopsying, your thought of maybe this is an autoimmune sample or a problem, usually those are going to continue to get worse. You're not going to just see it kind of stagnate and kind of stay the same. It's going to start spreading across the lips, but that is a common spot that we do see some of the immune-mediated diseases that affect the mucocutaneous junction.
There we go.
Big word. Yeah.
Big word. Thanks, Ben. Thanks a lot for calling. Cheryl in Conover has a question. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
My aunt has a Bichon, and apparently just had a bout with bladder stones and caused some pretty severe damage, but is recovering quite well. Now, my aunt, who feeds the dog whatever the dog wants, which is not always a good choice, I would like to know what your recommendation might be. You know, the Bichons are known for having stones in their bladder, and this particular little guy is about 7 years old and spoiled rotten kind of thing. And I really want her to feed the dog better than what she's feeding the dog.
Yeah,
we really need to know what kind of stones they are. So I hope that the veterinarian sent them in for stone analysis. We usually send our stones to the University of Minnesota to have that done. They have a very special lab there that's what they do, is evaluate all these stones. Because depending on the type of the stone, that's going to determine what the dog is able to eat. Most dogs that have bladder stones end up needing to be on a lifelong therapeutic diet that is either going to make the urine more acid or make it more alkaline. It may have, you know, less calcium in it and so on. And so there's certain type, depending on the type of the stone, that's the type of the diet that we use. And so it, you know, it may have to have a very restricted life. Sometimes there's things that we can give them, like vegetables and things, which are not going to be affecting what's going on in the bladder. But it sounds like this is a little boy dog. And when you have a male dog with stones, they have more issues, severe life-threatening issues with them because of their narrow urethra that they urinate through. The stones can sometimes get lodged there, and then they can have an obstruction, and it can be a life-threatening problem for them. So I really think that your family member needs to be convinced to, you know, stick with a therapeutic diet from the veterinarian and not be just feeding things willy-nilly.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Dave in Minnesota has a question for you, Sandy. Dave, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, thank you. We have a 19-year-old cat, Tabby, and she has like a sort of a growth on her chest. And I don't know if growth is the right word, but we've had her, she's seen two separate veterinarians, and each time we take her in, they trim it up, they cut the hair, and they cut it all up, and there's just like a little bump there, but there's like, it's like drops of blood like come out of it. And then over time, it's like it becomes like a great big mass of like dried blood and hair. And so anyways, we made a little bib for her so we can tell how much blood comes out. And just, it was just like a drop a day. But then about a week ago, it quit coming out altogether. So anyway, she's 19, so we're not really sure that any type of surgery is appropriate, but I wonder if we could have some input on this.
Yeah, you know, anytime we've got a bleeding mass in cats, it's, you know, 19-year-old cat, there's a good possibility that it may be cancer. It's simple to get some cytology done that's very non-invasive to be able to help, because if it is something like maybe an infected mammary gland, which would probably be unlikely, but that would be something that may be able to respond to antibiotics. Keeping that whole area cleaned and clipped is so important, because any discharge that's going to be coming out is going to be matting the hair. It may mean that you're going to have to get your own little set of clippers that you use at home to be able to keep kind of a hygienic clip in that area to keep it under control. Other than that, without knowing exactly what's causing it, I'm kind of at a loss to be able to help you. They do make things like little shirts and things for cats, like the Thunder shirt, that may help with hygiene around your house, where it's not going to be, you know, dripping and being on your sofa and so on. And I've even used some cast netting, or like a stockinette type material that we use for making casts for animals, and made little sweaters for cats so that we can keep some padding underneath it to protect it, because it may be that it's bleeding because it's getting irritated as well, and that may keep the cat from licking at it, and may help again protect the environment as well. And it's not going to solve the problem, but it just may keep your cat more comfortable.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Linda wondered if her cat has very long nails and claws constantly. Is laser claw surgery safe for older kitties?
Anytime you anesthetize an animal, there's always that risk of anesthesia. And I don't know how old this cat is, but if we're going to be taking this cat to anesthesia, we're going to want some complete blood work done to make sure that the liver and kidneys and everything are working fine. Laser declaw is a safer procedure than the standard declaw, just because with older cats, it can sometimes take a little bit longer, and the standard procedure needs a tourniquet, and it can take a little bit, it may take a little bit longer to do. And so you run the risk of nerve or blood vessel damaging. So I usually recommend laser declaw if it's being done by someone who is had done them before and is, you know, really knows how to handle that machine, because you can make mistakes with it as well. But think about it. There's other things that you may consider doing rather than putting your cat through anesthesia and a permanent surgery, such as learning how to trim your cat's claws, providing them with scratching posts that are appropriate, and also be looking at these little things called soft paws, which are little plastic nails that get glued onto your cat's nails to help protect your furniture. That may be an alternative that you haven't looked into.
Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. Jennifer Dargan joins us right now as well, because we are in our year-end membership drive, and this is your chance to support the WPR programs you count on every day, the programs that keep you in touch and keep you informed and keep you interested. So your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important as we end this year and look forward to 2016.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,500 in effect right now. And that's a great time to get your pledge, because current members, including Charles and Judy Hassert from Green Bay and an anonymous 9XM Leadership Circle member, are going to double every dollar you give this hour. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now. We've only got a few more minutes in the hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this program, we cover topics like the environment, consumer issues. We talk about gardening, a lot of how-to topics, Wisconsin authors. I love to have Wisconsin authors on. We talk about food, of course, and you get a lot of great information from this program, and it's possible because of your financial support of WPR. So I hope you'll support this program and all the programs you enjoy on WPR with your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we really don't want to let this challenge grant go to waste.
Don't want to let a dollar of that go to waste. Also, during this year-end membership drive, we have a special thank you gift, though that might entice you if the challenge doesn't. You can ask for food for $20 when you give $60, or food for $40 when you give $120.
Better yet, break those amounts up into monthly sustaining gifts of $5 a month or $10 a month. Your thank you gift will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank, and by the way, a Wisconsin food bank that's near your location. So get started right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I'm sure you will, and you can do that by going right now to WPR.org and make your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our year-end membership drive. Very important. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your support. And $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose right now, it's going to be matched.
Yes, matched dollar for dollar. You might pay $100 a month for your cable service, and you're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long. Sounds familiar.
Well, and, you know, if you gave $100 a month right now, you know what? It'd turn into $200
a
month because
point.
We've got a dollar-for-dollar match,
yes.
And we still have that amount there.
Yep.
You get these same things on this station, the entertainment, the information. You get quality programming here at WPR. I think it's unmatched, really. Become a sustaining member. Become a sustaining member with a 9XM leadership gift of $100 or more a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Keep this station strong. And again, if you do it right now, it's going to be matched.
Yep. Hey, we get it. It's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted. You just turn it on and it's there and it's always something good.
But if you travel around the country, you realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
We're really proud of WPR. You can be too and probably are. You can make it possible, though, with your support.
Don't take it for granted. It's something special. And this dollar-for-dollar match, don't take that for
granted.
We've
got about 2 minutes to go on that.
It's about to expire, and we still have a lot of dollars left on the table to be matched with your donation. Make it possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A great dollar-for-dollar match in effect from current members, including Charles and Judy Hastert from Green Bay, and we have an anonymous 9XM leadership Circle member. Your gift, $50, turns into $100. If you give $100 right now, it turns into $200. If you give $1,000, it'll turn into $2,000. So take advantage of this max right now. We've got a minute or two to go to still be able to have you do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You first join the WPR community as a listener, tuning in every day, and after a while, it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR is really a group effort.
We do this together, one pledge at a time, $1 at a time. If you've never given before, start with a $5 a month contribution. It's easy to set up at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry, if someone were to want to make a pledge and still get in on this match, it's almost noon right now, but if they were to call or go online in the next minute or so, it's still going to count towards the match.
Do it right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Linda from Neillsville said, matching pledge.
Yes, thank you, Linda.
Thanks a lot, Linda. What about you? If you haven't given yet, now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org, give your contribution, or phone 888-202-2552, and we'll be back with Dr. Sandy right after the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, it's easy to assume that everything is fine with your pets, but, you know, like they say, an ounce of prevention can be worth a pound of cure. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us as we visit with Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. She takes time every month to stop by and talk with us. And Dr. Sandy, thank you so much for being
with us. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. During our pledge drive, it's always a lot of fun, and I really appreciate your efforts. And I know one thing, before we go to the phones, one of the things you wanted to talk about today was the canine influenza vaccine, that H3N2.
Mm-hmm.
It's now available. Who should get it, and how is it given?
I'm going to back up just a little bit. People remember, back in April of this year, in the spring, there was a big outbreak of canine influenza in the Chicago area, well over 2,000 dogs, and we did have it show up here in Wisconsin as well. And we ended up finding out that this is a brand new influenza. Canine influenza has been around since 2005, and we've had a vaccine for this other one called H3N8 available for about the last 6 or 7 years, but we had nothing for this new virus that came out. It was actually imported, probably came from a dog that was imported from Korea or somewhere. It's like an Asian form. And we are now lucky enough to have a vaccine now for the H3N2. And so if you've got a dog that's going to be going into a boarding facility or goes to doggy daycare, dog parks, because this can be spread through aerosols and through contact with infected objects, like a ball that an infected dog was playing with. It may not be a bad idea to consider getting your dog vaccinated. The downside is, for pets that are going to be boarded over the holidays, you don't have enough time to get it done, because it takes two vaccinations, minimum of 2 weeks apart, and then about 2 weeks after that second shot, now they've got some protection. So you need to plan at least a month in advance, if not more, for getting your dog vaccinated. But I plan on getting my dogs vaccinated, because they already have respiratory problems because they're bulldogs.
Sure.
And they come to work with me once in a while. And any situation like that where there's going to be dogs congregating, even in a hospital situation, has the potential for causing this. So I think for people living in this area, not a bad idea to consider having it done. But always consult with your veterinarian.
John in Duluth, Minnesota has a question for you, Dr. Sandy. So let's go to John. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, I'm glad to speak to you. I always enjoy what you have to say.
Thank you.
I'm trying to organize this. My wife and I have several pets, and we take our dog and one of our cats over to what's called a pet-away stress session at the local university. And this is done with the local animal allies and their student health. And it's amazing how these students just love having these animals around. We're not the only ones. All of them are rescue. All the animals that are brought are at rescues and all well controlled. Now, my question is this. We live probably five blocks from the university, and we have, in this inclement weather, we've been packing up the cat in the carrier and loading it in a car. We have to make arrangements for parking, which is, you know, you can practically spit at the U from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And what I'm really wondering, dog's okay, but is it safe to carry the cat that far in some of this rough weather?
In a carrier.
Yeah.
The cat loves it. I hear these horror stories of people taking animals to the vet. Ours just walks in and takes over.
Awesome.
Awesome.
You know, they started this program at the Dane County Regional Airport here as well, and they've got stress-relieving dogs there for people that are traveling and stressful. So how good, what a great idea, and thank you for doing this for the students on campus. But I think your cat would be fine, unless it's like really windy and cold, and you may want to just consider putting a blanket over the carrier or something, providing the cat with something that they can snuggle up in to keep warm. You may even put like a hot water bottle or something in the carrier to get the cat that distance. But because dogs get acclimated to going outside to eliminate, and most cats are strictly indoors, it's going to be a little bit of a change for them. So try to protect the cat, but I don't think a five-block walk is going to be that harmful, unless your cat is elderly and has some vascular problems or something that could compromise the poorly perfused tissue, like the tail, the ears, and the feet.
There so, we go. Thanks yeah. a lot. Really appreciate what you're doing,
yeah,
John. Thank you
idea.
So much. Stella has a question or a suggestion for us. Stella, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. harking back to the opening of the show, when Dr. Sandy was talking about reducing stress on visits to the vet.
Yeah.
What we have done with our kitties, which just works like a charm, they're indoor kitties, and we put them in the carrier and just cover it loosely with a blanket right in the house, carry it out to the car, they ride covered up, we take them in, they're still covered up until we go into the examination room. And this is the first time in our lives transporting kitties that there hasn't been a peep.
Wonderful. And, you know,
they're just, you know, they're calm and just, they're real mellow.
Yeah. We have a whole drawer of towels and things that have been, you know, obviously very, you know, clean, never, you know, not used by any other animals, that are there for that particular purpose too. So if someone does come in with a carrier, we can say it's probably not a bad idea to cover it up. Even if the cat's going to be going to one of our dedicated cat, you know, exam rooms in the dedicated cat waiting area, just seeing another cat through the carrier can be enough to get them upset and then make the visit difficult for everybody involved. So thank you for bringing up that suggestion. That's a wonderful suggestion. And, you know, that's where you have to get your cat adapted to the carrier. Having it be part of the furniture in the house where it's maybe just the lower half of it so the cat learns to sleep in it, and then you put the top half on, and it's not this scary thing that the cat only gets to go in once a year to be seen by their veterinarian. So thank you very much for that. That's a good idea.
Very good idea. We actually have the carrier in the living room, and the cats play in it. They,
yeah.
You know, they'll one will be in there and the other one will be
batting at it,
and, yeah, and they run back and forth. And so that's just a lot of fun for
good.
Them.
Good.
A lot of fun. Brian in Madison has a question. Hi, Brian. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So my girlfriend just moved here this summer from California, and she brought her dog with. Her dog is a two-year-old mutt. I don't know if she rescued it or just adopted it. But every time she says she didn't do it in California, but since she moved here, when she gets excited, when she's running around being active, she coughs and really breathes really, really hard through her nose, and like it's a full body convulsion almost. And then it gets to the point where she acts like she's going to throw up. She hasn't ever thrown up, but she, you know, is clearly trying to doing that motion. You know, she opens her mouth extremely wide and acts like she's going to throw up. But
okay,
all right. Yeah, you know, if you ever get the opportunity, this is always something that if you can videotape it and take that video to your dog's veterinarian so they can actually see what the dog's doing, two things come to mind. One is there's a condition that dogs get that is very common called reverse sneezing. And now that we have things like YouTube, I used to have to learn how to mimic the sound so that, and I taught students how to do it. But now that we've got all this, you know, easy access, there's lots of dogs on there that are doing this. And I would suggest that you look to see if that's what your dog is doing. Because many times when dogs do get excited, it triggers this thing called reverse sneeze. And it's not a sneeze at all. It's more they're really breathing in deep and they're it sounds like they're having a hard time catching their air. Coughing bothers me, though. Some small breed dogs will have a very weak trachea, and they'll get what's called collapsing trachea that can significantly affect their ability to get enough oxygen and breathe properly, depending on how bad it is. And that can sometimes be triggered by excitement as well. So take a video, have a look at YouTube for both those things, collapsing trachea and reverse sneezing. And then if that's not what your dog's doing, time to go into your veterinarian to have this thing looked at, because there may be something serious going on.
Yeah. Good luck. Thanks, Brian, for calling. Patrick in Oshkosh, thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, good afternoon, Larry and Doctor. I'm in the process of being talked into a puppy, I think, and a Boston Terrier. And I'm just wondering if you could comment on the, you know, kind of behaviors or health issues or any other kind of comments regarding this breed that I should be aware of.
Yeah, this is always something. If you're going to be looking at a particular breed, it's so important to do your homework to find out kind of what problems they have. Obviously, being a small breed dog, they have more issues with things like if it's a male dog, having undescended testicles. We'll also see problems with their kneecaps where they get what's called luxating patellas, where the patella slips out of the area where it's supposed to be, and it can create problems with lameness. We can see some issues with their little screw tail, where I had a Boston not too long ago that we had to amputate the tail because it was actually spiraling in and under the skin and caused a pocket that was always infected, making sure that they don't have any underlying heart disease. And so this would be something that could be detected on the first visit. I always like to say, you know, if you've got the opportunity, visit with mom and dad first so that you know kind of what their temperament and personality are like, and find out kind of if they've got information from about three generations to go back on to see what other dogs have either passed away from or what problems they've had. Being a little push-faced dog, they're also prone to having all of the brachycephalic syndrome, such as it's tiny nostrils, a small trachea, elongated soft palate, and sometimes those are all things that need to be fixed so that your dog can lead a normal life too. And that would be something, again, looking at your mom, the mom and dad, and knowing that they're okay may make it safer for your puppy, but always get that puppy exam. And I like to deal with a breeder that has a guarantee that is very simple, lifetime. That means that if they are breeding for quality animals, and so that they're not going to be placing an animal in your hands that they know has a problem. So that's what to be looking for. But do your homework regardless of what the breed is.
Thanks very much for calling. A question from Barbara in Glenwood. Our daughter adopted a kitty from a shelter who it turns out has ringworm. It's had its first of four tar baths, but it lived in her house for almost a week before she learned of the seriousness of having a ringworm-infested cat. Is it dangerous to her or the cat's health?
Yes, it can be spread to people, it can spread to other dogs, and it can spread to other cats. That's why we always recommend you bring a new cat in. Don't let them be part of the household until they've been checked by the veterinarian. This would be something that I don't usually use a tar shampoo for treating ringworm. We usually use an oral antifungal agent in cats. We use one called itraconazole, and then I usually follow that up with either lime sulfur dips, which Larry is familiar with. Mm-hmm. It's very stinky, and there's a new product out that's a mousse that has climbosol, an antifungal agent in it. Very little odor, wonderful, easy to use product, and works extremely well. They may have to be monitoring all the pets, and all the pets may have to be moosed and treated. So, yeah.
There you go. a lot of work ahead for Barbara's daughter, from the sound of it. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk from the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine, our guest here today on the Ideas Network. Always great to have her come by, and it's always great to see Jennifer Dargan as well. She's with me to help tell you that you need to help us make our pledge goal. Your pledge of support during this membership drive is so important. Help us now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Larry, we're doing really well. We have three more pledges only to make in the next 10 minutes. So that's so easy. That's you and two other folks. Don't worry about those other folks. Just worry about you. Give to WPR to support the station that you love, your public radio.
Thanks if you've already given. And if you haven't, please help pay for the programs you enjoy. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And gosh, we've been enjoying this conversation today with Sandy Sawchuk on our pet's health. And this is just one example of the important and informative conversations we have on this show.
So I hope you'll take a few minutes right now to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, and then just go ahead and make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And during this holiday season, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs that you love possible. And you can ask for food for $20 when you give $60 or food for $40 when you give $120.
And these thank you gifts provide meals to people facing hunger in your area through regional food banks. So you can do two good things with your gift to WPR. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the host and the guest both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
I hope you'll make your contribution right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Jennifer Dargan asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And whether your gift is $5 a month or maybe it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on every gift.
We do. You connect with Wisconsin Public Radio for information, great conversations, and entertainment. And 9XM leadership gifts of $100 a month or more are critical in supporting that connection for you and others across the state.
So I hope you'll keep our connection strong to you and all our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners with a leadership gift, $100 a month or more, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Not very many of us are lucky enough to have our own personal life coach or personal trainer or veterinarian on speed dial to talk to whenever we have a question, but that's okay. When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you get great advice from all kinds of experts. And what does that cost you? How much does that cost you? You choose. The Ideas Network is your affordable source for helpful information. It's a great deal. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for just three more pledges in the next 5 minutes or so. Give to WPR to support the programs that you rely on.
Larry, we heard from Donna, who made a pledge earlier, Donna from Madison, and she said, I'm already a sustainer, but I love Larry's show, especially when Dr. Sandy is on. Well, thank you so much, Donna. Now, how about you? Thank you if you've already given, and if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Families often tell us how WPR brings them closer together. Children and parents listen together before school. And on the weekends, using WPR as kind of a jumping-off point for conversations. I know spouses get together at the end of the day and talk about stories that they've heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Conversations starting off with, I heard on WPR. Listening to WPR can be a point of connection between you and your loved ones. And your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps that connection going.
Wisconsin Public Radio listeners become Wisconsin Public Radio contributors for many reasons. Giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is one way to make a difference and help your local community.
And your pledge today not only pays for the programs that you listen to, it also gives others the chance to discover WPR. That's a nice thought.
Yeah.
So make that difference with just $5 a month or whatever the amount is comfortable for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There are so many important and interesting issues covered on the Ideas Network. You know, I'm on about 250, there's about 250 weekdays in a year, and we do often two topics. So I'm my show might do 400 topics in the course of a year. That's a whole, and that's just one show.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot more shows out there, mm-hmm. and I hope you enjoy listening to those shows, and I hope you'll support them. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Help us put a strong finish on 2015 so we can continue to bring you the issues. And we've got 400 more to book next year, right, Larry?
Yeah, that's right.
Make your year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll make a habit of donating. A good habit, a habit mm-hmm. you can be proud of. So I hope you'll get started today. You can help with your pledge any amount at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552.
We're getting so close. We have one more pledge to go to meet our goal. You can be the one. You could be the hero of the Larry Mueller Show today. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really helps.
And this pledge drive, you have a chance to do a couple things at once. Ask for the food for 20 when you give $5 a month, or food for 40 when you give $10 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from a donor from Chippewa Falls who said, I can't tell you how many conversations include, when I was listening to WPR, I learned that, .. Mm-hmm. I'm a better consumer, a better gardener, more active, eat healthier, and save more money because I listened to WPR. On top of it all, I know all the fun places to visit in our beautiful state. Thank you. Wow, that's a great comment. Thank you so much. Now, how about you next? WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not already a sustainer, I would certainly invite you to become one right now. It's easy to do. You set up convenient, ongoing, monthly donations, and you can do it from your bank account or you can do it off your credit card. Just do it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We also heard from a donor in Madison who said, the kind of programming WPR provides is vital to keeping Wisconsin vibrant and engaged. Thank you so much for your donation and for that comment. And if you agree, go to your computer, WPR.org, or call us at 888-202-2552.
And I want to really thank everyone. If you've given already, thank you so much for your contribution. It has meant a lot to us. I want to thank everyone who has contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, think about it, but think about it only for a couple seconds and then just go ahead and act on it. And the way to do that is just to go to WPR.org, or you can phone 888-202-2552. It's been a real pleasure for me to serve you and to learn with you for a long, long time. I support Wisconsin Public Radio with my donations. I hope you will, too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and thank you.